You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
Dan, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
Doing very good, thank you. Glad to have you on. I also should mention, of course, that you do have the College Football Fix podcast, talking college football. Big fan of it, so appreciate you doing that, and I appreciate you hopping on here today. Before we get to kind of the current state of college football and what's going on right now this week, just want to ask you about something that dropped a couple weeks ago, and that was the announcement of the expanding college football playoffs to 12 teams. Your thoughts on that, getting more teams involved, and I mean, I like the potential of that Cinderella team, but also I think there's some people that, you know, bring up it could open up some blowouts in the playoff.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really believes that in any given year there's 12 college football teams that could win a national championship. I'm not sure there's more than three or four, you know, in any given year, but that's not really the point of expanding the playoff. I think the biggest thing is that in this era of the playoff that we've seen, the sport's just become kind of regionalized. It's actually helped a handful of elite programs kind of maintain their grip on power. And, you know, when you've had like the Pac-12, for instance, I think it's six straight years they have not had a team in the playoff. It's bad for the sport, you know, and you want people to be invested, not just the schools, but fan bases across the country to say, you know, listen, you know, our game, our conference championship is going to mean something. We need to have access to this playoff. And so I think that it'll make more regular season games important. It'll make more teams relevant later into the season. You know, there may be some drawbacks to an expanded playoff, but overall, I think this was something the sport really needed to do.
I want to ask you about Notre Dame. Obviously, tough start to the season for the Fighting Irish. The loss to Ohio State, maybe some people thought that was okay, but losing to Marshall 26-21 at home, obviously. I don't know how many people had that one. What is up with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, or do you think maybe we just had them ranked a little too high to start the year?
The biggest thing right now with Notre Dame is their head coach, Marcus Freeman, who, you know, is a really young guy, 36 years old, got that program, took over for Brian Kelly, who left for LSU, and he's brought a lot of excitement and recruiting, and, you know, he's this really young guy, looks like he could still play, totally different personality-wise from Kelly. He's kind of a breath of fresh air, great energy and all that stuff, but he's a first-time head coach and he's 36 years old. And so there's a lot of eyeballs on him to say, listen, you know, can he actually run a big-time program like Notre Dame? And it's not easy to do. It's not something that everybody gets right, especially their first time out of the box. And that was a bad loss, you know, and they looked like not only were they not physical enough and tough enough to win that game, but they kind of were just out of answers as it went along, and there wasn't a lot of kind of adjustment and problem solving throughout the course of that game. So it's a concern, you know, and Notre Dame's the kind of place where maybe he can get away with one bad season, but if Notre Dame is kind of a 7-5 or 6-6 type team, there's definitely going to be a lot of questions about whether Marcus Freeman can be a head coach at this point, because that program was set up very well by Brian Kelly. He left the cupboard full from a talent standpoint. So what they've done so far is very disappointing.
When you look at the Notre Dame program that they've had, obviously pretty prestigious, you know, a lot of fans around the world, do you think they could have a hard time bringing in those marquee head coaches? It seems like a lot of these coaches now, you know, heading down to the SEC or we're seeing some of the best football being played. Like, does it still have that allure, you think?
I think it has a lot of allure. It's a tough job in some ways because you have higher academic standards at Notre Dame than a lot of those schools you're talking about. They still, at Notre Dame, believe in the idea of the student athlete, and there's certain things like freshman football players don't live with other football players. They live with regular students because they want football to be assimilated into the student body and not be this separate thing where the players spend 18 hours a day at the football facility. So those are the kind of things that are unique to Notre Dame and maybe make it a little bit tougher. But at the same time, they have all the resources. They've got, you know, the money, the cachet. It's still a very unique, special place with a lot of tradition and a lot of allure to coaches and recruits. I think with Notre Dame last year, last fall, when Brian Kelly left, it was certainly, I think, a question mark for them whether they were going to go with continuity, and that was where Freeman came in because he was there as the defensive coordinator, or they were going to go outside and try to maybe hire somebody like Luke Fickell, who's done very well at Cincinnati. They opted for the comfort hire, the internal hire, the guy who the players already knew and the players liked. And certainly in recruiting, it's gotten a lot of results, but you have to win on the field. And I don't think it's a problem with Notre Dame. I just think there's an issue right now within that team that either, you know, the coaching, there's something wrong with the coaching or the messages and getting through. It's going to be up to them to fix it. But, you know, I think you got to give Marcus Freeman a chance and see what he can do. You know, nobody should expect him to have all the answers right away. He's learning on the job. But at the same time, Notre Dame is not a place where you get a ton of runway to make a lot of mistakes.
We're talking NCAA football with Dan Wolken from USA Today. And, Dan, when you look at the AP poll compared to the coaches poll, same top three, but the AP poll has Georgia at number one. Meanwhile, the coaches poll has Alabama at one. If you had to pick a side here, where are you going?
I think right now, based on the evidence we've seen, you have to go with Georgia as the top team. They look very dominant right now, and not to say that that can't change by the end of the year. We'll see what Alabama can turn into and what they can fix. But the reality is, if we're, you know, being fair and objective, they have shown some weaknesses. They've got some question marks, and you know, I think when you look at the way they played last weekend against Texas, offensively they were clunky. They didn't necessarily have the level of playmaking with their wide receivers that they've had in the past. They did some, you know, stuff on defense that was uncharacteristic with a lot of penalties. Those are things I'm sure that Saban is going to work hard on fixing, and I trust him to fix it more than just about any other coach in the country. But right now, you know, Georgia just looks like a juggernaut. They kind of look like what Alabama was. And so I think right now I would pick them number one, but I certainly am not going to write off Alabama as a real threat to win this whole thing.
When you look at some of the other teams that round out the top 10, I mean, there's the usual suspects there, Clemson, Michigan, Oklahoma, USC in there. Now, do you think there is anyone maybe later in the top 25 or even just on the outside that people are sleeping on that you think are poised to go on a bit of a run this season?
Well, I don't know that there's anyone who's kind of off the radar right now that I would look at and say, oh, yeah, they got a great chance to get into the playoff or anything like that. I do think USC is interesting. They've had a nice start to the year. Offensively, they're scoring a lot of points. Defensively, not elite by any stretch of the imagination, but they've got so many skill players. Lincoln Riley has put his imprint on that team immediately, which is certainly something I expected him to do. They look a lot like the Oklahoma teams that made the playoff a few years ago. Now, those teams, when they ran up against Alabama, Georgia, you know, the elite of the elite, they looked overmatched, and they didn't quite have enough in the trenches and on defense to win those games. But I don't think USC is playing anybody like that in the regular season. I think they've got a chance to really dominate the Pac-12. They have Notre Dame on the schedule. Notre Dame does not look good at this point. I think USC, if they continue on this path, could be a potential college football playoff team. Not going to win a national championship, but I do like what I've seen from them offensively so far this year.
Looking around NCAA football with Dan Wolken of USA Today here on the Jason Krager Show. Just looking at the Heisman race, I think C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, quarterback at USC, all getting a lot of attention here. If you had to look at your power rankings, in what order would you have it with those three, or is there someone else you got in there?
Oh, it's so early for the Heisman stuff. I mean, you know, we've only got a couple data points here. I remember back in, I think it was maybe 2012 or 2013, you know, in September, everybody would have said Geno Smith at West Virginia was a lock to win the Heisman. But I don't think at the end of the day he even made the top three. So there's just a lot to play out. You know, I think, you know, not a great game for Bryce Young, although he did at the end of the day kind of save the whole thing from sinking with that drive at the end. Didn't put up a ton of numbers, but he's going to be tough to beat out for this once more. You know, I would say you might want to look at Stetson Bennett from Georgia. I mean, Stetson Bennett, I think, earned a lot of respect last year for quarterbacking that team to a national championship, was way more productive and dynamic than anybody ever thought he could be as a former walk-on. He's come back this year for one more go-around at this thing, and he's gotten better as a player, and he's got so many weapons, and that offense looks almost unstoppable. So, you know, I would say maybe Stetson Bennett right now is a guy that you would want to put at the top of that list.
When you look at him as a potential NFL player, do you think the size is just going to be too much for him to overcome?
Well, that's always the big question mark with a lot of guys who are really good at the college level, who maybe, you know, don't have that, you know, 6'4", 220-pound frame that kind of has that classic modern quarterback body. But, you know, I don't know how to project him or to analyze him for the next level. I think he's an overachiever. I think he's one of those guys who's gotten the most out of his talent. And sometimes, you know, in the NFL, those types of guys are just overmatched. Things just happen a little too fast for them. But in terms of his impact as a college player, he's writing a, you know, tremendous resume and story, and certainly is a guy who got Georgia their first national championship in 40 years. He's going to be remembered fondly there forever.
Dan Wilkin from USA Today joining us here on the Jason Gregor Show talking college football. Dan, just a couple more questions for you. It's going to be a fun weekend, as it usually is in the college football world. Lots of good games going on. Are there any that you have circled here that you'll be tuning in, maybe for offensive explosions, a lot of entertaining football?
Yeah, this is not the best week of college football matchups. You have one interesting game with Miami going to A&M, obviously A&M, Texas A&M coming off the loss to Appalachian State. That was a big surprise. They're going to need to bounce back in a big way. Don't really know a lot yet about Miami. First year with Mario Cristobal there as the coach. They've got a really nice quarterback in Tyler Van Dyke. So that's a good matchup. You know, you've got BYU going to Oregon. Oregon got crushed by Georgia in week one, but I think they're better than that. BYU had a really good win last weekend against Baylor, two ranked teams. You know, for BYU, they play a pretty ambitious non-conference, or they're not in the conference, but they have a lot of good matchups this year. I think they've got Arkansas down the road. I think they play Notre Dame as well. So, you know, this is a big one for BYU. If they can win at Oregon, they're going to start to get a lot of consideration for, you know, top 10 and maybe even, you know, sneaking into the playoff conversation if they could get this win.
Now, Dan, my final question for you. I'm a big NFL guy, so I love, you know, sitting down 11 o'clock Mountain Time to whatever it might be, 9:30 watching the NFL. When it comes to college football Saturdays, are you up at 9 a.m. watching games and, you know, staying up for that late Hawaii kickoff?
Well, I live on the East Coast, so I'm usually up fairly early in the morning, and I get my workout done and get all this stuff at my house done, and then I kind of get ready for that noon kickoff, and I've got a nice little setup in my house where I can watch a few different screens at once. And yeah, I mean, I'm pretty locked in. You know, I may take a break to go eat something or to, you know, run around the block or whatever, but yeah, I'm pretty locked in until late, and then I'm writing throughout the day. And you know, I kind of lose some steam after about, you know, 10:30, 11. But, you know, if the matchups are good enough at that late night window, I can maybe squeeze it out till, you know, 12:30 or 1 a.m. But, yeah, it's a long day on Saturday. There's always a lot to monitor.
Oh, there really is. Well, Dan, thank you so much for doing this today. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time. And as I mentioned before, to people out there that love College Football Fix, great podcast, and your work is with USA Today. So we thank you for doing this today, and hopefully we can get you back on later on in the season.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.